I want to bring in Kevin Negandhi from ESPN and Temple University. The great Kevin Negandhi. Kevin, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Mark, Trey, and Bob, congratulations. I'm proud to be a part of your first week.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, we're honored to have you on, man. You're a great dude, and we appreciate you coming on with us. So with all the Le'Veon Bell talk, obviously you're a Philly guy through and through. When it comes to Le'Veon Bell and the Eagles' backfield, do you think Le'Veon is a possible option for the Birds?
I think it should be considered an option because, listen, the way the NFL is set up, you have certain windows to do something. And that, when I say that, when you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, you're aware that and he's going to be the franchise quarterback. You're aware of what he's going to take on that salary cap within a few years. The perfect example is look at the window with the Seahawks. Eventually they knew they had to win and win now with Russell Wilson before he got his deal. And then on the back end, you see that defense that aged quickly. In the NFL, you have at least a 3 to 4 year window, which is amazing what Trey and that team did in the early part of this century with Andy, where they had a 10-year window. Here, we've got literally a 3-year window to do something before Carson gets his contract, and which he deserves the contract. So to me, justifying the idea and how we making a move to go get Le'Veon Bell for a rental this year, to me it makes sense because if you look at the playmakers on offense, it's just a different team. They don't have as many playmakers as they did last year. And a piece of that is because the wear and tear, the way the offensive line is shaped up, waiting for Alshon. You don't have anybody that stretches the field on the other side. And Aguilar is a phenomenal slot player. We've seen him, you know, do a great job, but I think you need a weapon back there. When they lost Blunt, the one thing I said is whether you're going to criticize him or not for just getting 2 or 3 yards, what he did was he still moved the football down the field. So the defense had to be aware of the running game regardless, and that opened things up for Carson Wentz on 2nd and 3rd down. So to me, you make a move with Le'Veon Bell, it gives the defense a half a second to think twice when they have to counter for number 26 on the field. Now, the price tag, listen, that's all on Howie's hands. Howie is a genius when it comes to this stuff. I trust Howie Roseman considering his track record the last 3 years. If he doesn't do the move, then my thinking is that maybe the Steelers' price tag is too much, or they have another option, but they have to figure it out. The benefit that they have right now, though, guys, is it early October and the entire division stinks. So you can take advantage of figuring things out now. I call this the Patriot way, where your entire division stinks and you figure out what's going on in September and October to gear up for November and December.
Kevin Negandhi, ESPN, SportsCenter, of course. And I love your Twitter profile, Philly diehard, raised in the 700 level. Wish they built Wawa in Connecticut. And by the way, it's water ice. Kevin, as a Philly guy, when you're watching this team after a Super Bowl victory like last year, do you see them going through any type of Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, I mentioned that the other day. Now I want to distinguish one thing. 2018 is completely different from 2017. And Trey could allude to this, that the dynamic of a locker room is a little bit different. You know, it's a year later. When you win, certain players come in, and I'm not saying specific players because this is just the mentality. Certain players come in and say, all right, you know, we did the team thing. I want to get my individual thing. And that plays a role. I don't know if there's an individual thing there with the Eagles. I just know that football, it takes a wear on you, and especially if you're playing late into a season, that's what's remarkable about what the Patriots have done. If you look at the track record of Super Bowl teams or teams that make it to the Super Bowl and may have lost, getting back the next year, there is a hangover that plays a role inside the locker room. And I think also it takes time, and I find when Doug was going off in the preseason and he was a little annoyed, I called him Cranky Doug. There was a reason why. It's because he was aware that I think this team has settled in and we lost a little bit of the hunger. And when I say hunger, I mean it by doing all the little things and not taking things for granted. And that's what you're missing here, guys. Look, there were 2 or 3 costly penalties that we saw in that game. And I'm not referring to the Bennett play. I'm talking about, you know, when you're not lined up correctly. Those are the little things that mount up and suddenly make drives much longer. This team can't afford to have a third and long situation or even a first and 15 situation, the way this offense is trying to figure things out. So I think that you do you go through a hangover thing, and I said this at the beginning of the season with Carson out. All I cared about was surviving September. If they went 3-1, that would have been incredible. I was okay with going 2-2. I was not okay losing the way they lost to the Titans because I thought the defense at the back end of that secondary let up in that game. My issue right now is all three units look like they're hungover. All three units look like they're in a daze and they're not paying attention to certain details. That has to change because you can get by with this team is good enough to get by with one unit, you know, lagging. They cannot get by with all three units not holding their end of the bargain.
Kevin, you talk about how weak the NFC East is, but in the NFC as a whole, are the Rams just at a level where it's almost like nobody can catch them right now? I mean, are they playing that well? You see everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Bob, that's a great question. Here's the thing, and I brought up that window. The Rams know Jared Goff. Sean McVay is clearly aware of we have a window to win a Super Bowl. We've got to do it now. Let's load up on the defense with a bunch of veterans, and let's pay everybody out and make sure, because we're going to make sure Gurley's happy. We're going to make sure everybody on that, you know, you're going to have Donald with his big contract, Sue coming in, and they got those two corners. They lose Tlaib, of course, to an injury, but their philosophy was this window is maybe 3 years all in right now. And when you have a genius, and I consider McVay a genius head coach, he's aware of the situation, what they got to do. And I'm not going to go to the extreme and say the Rams are going to go undefeated. That's ridiculous when you're going to say that in week six. I think the way that team is built, they could go 14-2. And the way they are built on the back end in that backfield with Gurley, they will go deep into the playoffs. Goff has surprised me because I think McVay, it's a system that you could flourish. But Goff has made some throws on his own where you're like, whoa. The key, too, for Goff is when you can have Brandon Cooks join Cooper Kupp, my goodness, man. Like McVay gets it that we have to win and win now. And I actually find it interesting that Howie's going to be tested right now in the next couple of weeks to find somebody to help Carson Wentz and that offense along with Alshon Jeffrey. Don't forget, this is Alshon's second game back on the field. They still need a little bit more time. What they have to figure out, though, is how you're going to help that running game in the backfield. They desperately need Sproles and Corey Clement back.
Yep, and you mentioned Goff, you mentioned Wentz, and they're just trying to be their best version of Anthony Russo. Am I right, Kevin?
Hey, man, how about that? Listen,
four touchdowns, baby. Go Owls.
Four touchdowns, three incompletions. You know, it's nice to enjoy that kind of performance, and I know you don't get to see too much of that, especially on the college level. I'm enjoying that.
Hell yeah.
I felt like they balled out against BC the week before, and they deserve to dominate a team like ECU on their home field.
They absolutely did. Go Owls forever. Kevin DeGondi, ESPN Sports Center. Follow him on Twitter, of course. Please, folks, he's a great guy. He's a Philly guy, doing really well, obviously, at ESPN and Sports Center, of course. Kevin, thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
Fellas, my pleasure. Congrats again on the gig, and fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it, man.